The message this morning, I'm simply going to call it, when new beginnings don't look so new. When new beginnings don't look so new. I'm going to go to two passages of Scripture. I want to go to Zechariah chapter 4 and Nehemiah chapter 1. Zechariah chapter 4, Nehemiah chapter 1. I'm going to start with Zechariah chapter 4. A couple of scriptures that have just been my personal theme throughout this year. One that I've mentioned often. It's something that the Lord has so written in my heart. I want to look at verses 6 and 7. Then he answered and spake unto me, saying, this is the word of the Lord unto Zerubbabel, saying, not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel thou shalt become a plain, and he shall bring forth the headstone thereof, with shoutings crying, grace, grace unto him. Go with me to Nehemiah chapter 1, beginning with verse 1. The words of Nehemiah, the son of Hakaliah, it came to pass in the month of Chisbu, the 20th year, as I was in Shushan palace, and Hanani, one of my brethren, came, he and certain men of Judah. And I asked them concerning the Jews that had escaped which were left of the captivity and concerning Jerusalem. And they said unto me, the remnant that are left of the captivity there in the province are in great affliction and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem also is broken down, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. It came to pass when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. I want you to go with me to chapter 2. I'm going to start with verse 13. And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, into the dung court, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem which were broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire. Then I went on to the gate of the fountain and to the king's pool, but there was no place for the beast that was under me to pass. Then went I up in the night by the brook and viewed the wall, and turned back and entered by the gate of the valley, and so returned. And the rulers knew not whither I went or what I did, neither as I yet told it to the Jews, nor to the priests, nor to the nobles, nor to the rulers, nor to the rest that did the work. Then I said unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste, and the gates thereof are burned with fire. Come, and let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more in reproach. Then I told them of the hand of God, my God which was good upon me, as also the king's words that he had spoken unto me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. Amen. When new beginnings don't look so new. Let's pray. Father, I just pray, Lord, that you would just help me with this word this morning. Lord, I know this is something that you've put in my heart. And God, there's something that you want to do through the lives of people that are here. I pray that they would find comfort. I pray that they would find strength. I pray that there would be something that would rise up and say, Lord, I hear the call to rebuild. And Lord, by your grace, only by your grace, we will build. Father, we just thank you for your goodness in our lives today. And we give you glory. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let me just begin by saying that so often when we think of new beginnings, we think of a bright, shiny new day. A new day has come, bright, full of sunshine and green grass. Our hearts are just bursting with joy because, after all, the expectation of what God has in store is as bright as the new morning sun radiating in the sky. And, beloved, you know what? That is rightfully so. Amen. So often when God says you are moving into a new beginning, we can just sense, as Song of Solomon put it so well, that the winter has passed The rain is over, the flowers appear on the earth, and the singing of the birds has come. Beloved, I truly believe there are seasons in every Christian's life where we just sense by the Holy Spirit that we are moving out of a dark winter season in our life. And there's just an expectation in our heart because we know that we're passing into something new and that something wonderful is about to take place in our life. You can just sense that in your heart. You know, that has been my prayer for us as a body. You know, we're going into springtime and things are starting to blossom and things are starting to bloom. And I've just been praying for us as a body that it would have a spiritual meaning to us, because I know many of us have passed through a long, dark winter season, and it's just time for some flowers in our life. Amen. It's just time to see God do something in our lives that are so beautiful and so glorious. And the Lord is faithful. But I have to say right from the get-go that with Nehemiah, it wasn't necessarily the case. And I don't want you to get me wrong. It was definitely a time of new beginnings for the people of God. They were so supernaturally released from exile. They were on their way to their beloved homeland, Israel. They were going to rebuild because God had set a hope and a future before them. They had a fresh commission from the Lord to establish a dwelling place for God's glory in the earth. It was new beginnings. But yet in my heart, I know from Nehemiah, new beginnings didn't look so new. Yes, it was full of promise of what God wanted to do. But yet what Nehemiah was facing, new beginnings didn't necessarily look so new. You see, what Nehemiah went back to was burned out ruins. What Nehemiah went back to was shambles and decay and wreckage and devastation. In other words, Nehemiah's new beginning meant rebuilding past ruins. I want you to capture that. Nehemiah's new beginning meant going back and rebuilding the ruins of the past. And beloved, I just want to get right into our message and say this morning, for some people, new beginnings may mean rebuilding a failed marriage. New beginnings may mean rebuilding a failed relationship with our parents or with our children. New beginnings may mean rebuilding failed relationships with people. New beginnings may even mean rebuilding a failed relationship with God. It can mean rebuilding something that has ties to the past. And yet we know in our heart it's not going to be an easy one. And it's not going to be a pretty one. But yet it's a work that has to happen. It's a work that has to happen. You see, the call of new beginnings can start with an overwhelming sense of need. This has to change. It just can't go on like this. It has to change. I don't have the strength inside of me to change it. I don't even have the desire and the passion to change it. There is absolutely nothing within me that can change it. But yet in my heart, I know now it has to change. It can't go on like this. Beloved, it is a call from the Lord. And I think we've all been there. I think we've all had those seasons in our life where we knew something, it has to change. It can't go on like this. And it has to change now. And we can begin to look in our heart and begin to sense the hopelessness and begin to sense the despair, because we know there's nothing inside of us that can do the work. There's nothing inside of us that can change it. And so there is an incredible sense of neediness before God. Lord, what I sense in my heart when I'm looking at this challenge and this call you're placing before me, Lord, all I can say is, I need you. I need you. But beloved, here's the comfort. God says, you are right. There is nothing in yourself that can change this. Now my grace can come in and do the work. You are out of the way. There's nothing of your strength and your abilities that can hinder me. You are in a place of absolute brokenness and neediness before the Lord, and now my grace can come in and do what you can't do. And here's my word of comfort to your needy heart. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Who are you, O great mountain of impossibility? You shall be leveled to a plain, and grace shall triumph, and grace shall be the testimony. Amen. Understand, beloved, rebuilding those things that we need to rebuild, it will take much grace. Like we said, the work before us is not an easy work, and it's not going to be a pretty work, but it's a work that has to happen. And so the question becomes, well, why will it require grace? Why will we need much grace? You know, there's a few things that we can talk about, but there's only one word God has put on my heart this morning. What is that one word? Forgiveness. Forgiveness. So often, when it comes to rebuilding, one thing is required, and it's the very first thing that has to happen. Forgiveness. Rebuilding a failed marriage that has been nothing but years of cruel words and harsh temperaments requires forgiveness. Forgiving people that have deeply wounded us, maybe our parents, or maybe our children, or even people that we've worked with in the ministry. We're going to rebuild. It starts with forgiveness. If we're going to hear and answer God's call to rebuild these things, it means rebuilding begins with upon the foundation of forgiveness. That's where it begins. And beloved, I can tell you, when it comes to forgiveness, sometimes it requires a lot of grace. Amen. Beloved, when God is calling us to rebuild, there has to come a willingness to forgive. And sometimes that can take much grace. You know, I know my father wouldn't mind me sharing this with you, so I just want to share it with you. Some years ago, my father was called to pastor the church, and he sensed it was the call of God. And he went and he began to pastor this church. And I want to tell you, it started off supernatural. It started off beautiful. People were coming in and getting saved. God was adding to the church. Backsliders were coming in and finding their way to the Lord. People that my dad worked with in the plant, you know, he had a full-time job too. They were coming to church and hearing the word in his heart, and they were getting saved, and they were being plugged into places because they had a heart for God. And it was just a supernatural work and a beautiful work. But after a few years, some people rose up in the church and accused my father of something. And let me tell you something. What was beautiful became very ugly real quick. There was a lot of accusations, a lot of cruel words, a lot of mean things were said, and a short time after that, they asked my father to leave. And needless to say, there was a lot of hurt feelings there. But a few years went by, and the Lord vindicated my father. You know, the Bible says that the Lord will cause your righteousness to shine as the noonday sun. And the Lord vindicated my father. What happened? The people that actually accused my father got caught doing the very same thing they accused him of. Well, let's make a long story short. What ended up happening is one of the deacons came to the church, knocked on the door of my dad's house, and with hat in hand said, "Would you come back and be our pastor?" Listen, the look on my mother's face said it all. You got to be kidding, right? You're kidding me, right? Listen, I gave God my unforgiveness, but we are not coming back to that church. We're not. But beloved, the Lord wouldn't leave my parents alone. The Lord very tenderly kept nudging them, you need to forgive this people. You need to reestablish a relationship with this people. It won't be easy, but I will give you the grace. Take it a day at a time. I need you in this church. I'm not finished with it yet. I haven't walked away from it yet. There's still a work that needs to be done, and you are just the people to do it. You want to talk about a lot of grace needed to forgive. It took a lot of grace to forgive. But my dad's pastoring that church today. Amen. No, it's not an easy word. And it's not a pretty word. But the Lord said to them, it's a needful word. You need to forgive. You know, where did our salvation begin from? You know, our salvation is a beautiful thing, but it didn't begin in a beautiful place. It began with a bloody cross where the Son of God was crucified. It was a day of new beginning, but it didn't start in a beautiful place. And sometimes new beginnings aren't going to look so new, but the Lord says, I will give you the grace to begin the work. Amen. Amen. But here's the hope of it all. You know, God's put one scripture on my heart, and it's simply this scripture. Beauty for ashes. Beauty for ashes. The hope is this. God is going to take the ruins and build something so beautiful that it's going to honor Him and glorify Him in the earth. You know, before Nehemiah went and rebuilt the walls, Zerubbabel went and rebuilt the ruins of the temple. And I think about what God said about Zerubbabel's temple. I want you to turn with me to the book of Haggai. Go with me to the book of Haggai. And I want to look at what God said about Zerubbabel's temple. It says, in the seventh month, in the 1 20th day of the month, came the word of the Lord by the prophet Haggai, saying, speak now to Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, and to Joshua, the son of Josedech, the high priest, and to the residue of the people, saying, who is left among you that saw this house in her first glory? And how do you see it now? Is it not in your eyes in comparison of it as nothing? So here the Lord is talking to the elders of Israel that were there before they were exiled into Babylon. They're very old people now. I mean, they're really up in years, but they were there before the temple was destroyed. They saw Solomon's temple. They saw the glory of it. They saw the beauty of it. You know, it was Solomon's temple was overlaid with gold and was overlaid with silver. And what the Lord is saying to the people is this. He's saying, listen, you saw Solomon's temple. And I know what you're thinking. When you place Zerubbabel's temple up to Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple ends up looking like a shack. When you place Zerubbabel's temple against Solomon's temple, Zerubbabel's temple looks like a woodshed to you. But here is what I want you to know, my people, about Zerubbabel's temple. Look with me at verse 8 and 9. The Lord says, "The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, saith the Lord. The glory of this latter house shall be greater than of the former, says the Lord." Amen. So in other words, here's what the Lord is saying. He's saying, all the gold and silver in the earth is mine, and if I wanted to make it as beautiful as Solomon's temple, I could have. But I didn't. And you want to know why? Because this temple, the building is not going to shine. My glory is going to shine. My glory is going to be the splendor and the beauty of this temple. People aren't going to be astounded by its outward beauty. They are going to be astounded by the inward glory. That's what God is saying. And beloved, just to go back to my parents' story, you know, shortly after my father began pastoring the church, my mother said to me, "He is not the same pastor he was the first time. God has done a work, and everyone sees it." And beloved, I can tell you that is true. God has done a work, and everyone is seeing it, and everyone is marveling at what God has done in this man's life. Beloved, as his son, I marvel at what God has done in his life. My mother marvels at what God has done in his life. The people in that church, they marvel at what God has done in his life, because the glory of God in this man's life. Amen. Amen. You know, people have seen enough of the pretty trappings of religion. They need to see the inward glory of God in His people. I think about the story of Acts 3, the lame man laid at the temple gates called Beautiful. No doubt it was beautiful, but in all of its beauty, it was powerless to heal a lame mortal lying right outside his doors. And then two common fishermen just happen to come by. They see him, and they say, "Silver and gold have I none." I wonder if they was thinking about Solomon's temple. "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, rise up and walk." And the man suddenly rises up, and he's leaping and praising God. And do you know what the Lord spoke to me in this? He said, "It's not beautiful sanctuaries, but supernatural people." In other words, the power is not in how beautiful your sanctuary is. It is in the inward glory of Christ that abides in His people. And that's what they need to see. They've seen too much of the beautiful trappings, but so little of the power that can heal the lame world that's lying right outside his gate. And I want to end on this. You want to know how powerful the work God is going to do in these circumstances that require much grace to change? Look with me at chapter 2. Verse 7. Haggai 2, verse 7. He says, "And I will shake all nations, and the desire of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts." Beloved, here's the thought that's on my mind. Do you want to shake the world around you? Do you want to shake the church around you? Do you want to shake the people all around you? Do you want to to shake the people that know you the best, then rise up to God's call and let grace do its work. Amen. And here is the promise. People will soon marvel at the beauty and the glory of what God has done. People will so see the hope that is in Christ that He alone can give beauty for ashes. And they will come and they will fall before Him and they will yield their ashes. Amen. I guess what I'm trying to say is this. Sometimes new beginnings doesn't always look so new because the work involved isn't easy and it's not pretty. But God will give you the grace to rise up to the call, and when the work is finally done, it will be joy unspeakable and full of glory, and the world around you will have to stand up and take notice that only God could have done this. Stand with me this morning.